Well, our text this evening is found in Proverbs 15 and verses 31 to 33, although our theme tonight is how the wise listen well. And really the main principle that I want you to grasp tonight is this, that wisdom is the God-given grace and help and ability to listen before you speak. Now, in recent times, we've seen an explosion of talent shows. Things like Britain's Got Talent and X Factor and The Voice and all the rest of them. And often you have hilarious clips because people have a wrong view of their talent. They think they're going to take the world by storm. And so they come on with their particular act, and often with embarrassing and, for us, maybe slightly hilarious results. They are convinced that they're going to wow the audiences. But those who make and sit and see with an objective eye make the judgment that pierces the illusion for them. Because sometimes people are self-deceived, you know? And this is not just an issue for the talent shows, it's an issue for all of us. We are so good at times at convincing ourselves that we are outstanding in certain areas. You know, areas of our lives, you know, maybe great spouses or wonderful employees, and maybe we think we can do all this without putting any particular work in to be skilled in any of those things. And the problem is that eventually our self-deception will be burst, and that will cause us great embarrassment. It can also be very sad when it happens. Could give you many examples of those who have wrongly thought that they excelled in a certain area, only for it to fall apart, and then they point to the fault of others rather than seeing their own deficiency. Proverbs speaks a lot about self-deception and its capacity to ruin us. It exhorts us again and again, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't follow the way that seems right to you. Why? Because left to ourselves, the Bible tells us that we are self-deceived, that we'll go the wrong way. By nature, we are against God, we're in rebellion against God, we're sinful, we'll never pursue those things which are right without His intervention. We desperately need a wisdom that is able to understand the world as it is, that grants us that we can understand ourselves, but more than that, helps us to see the reality of who God is. What it means to be right with Him. You know, this wisdom must come from outside of us. We cannot find it inside with ourselves. We cannot just follow our hearts. You know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, we need, as we have been saying all the way through this book, we need a relationship with wisdom, namely Jesus Christ, because only then will we have the right perspective. Only then will we be brought to see who we really are in our sinful state and our need of a Savior. Only then will we be wise in this life. Because the only way to be wise is to trust in the Lord, to have that real relationship with Him. And friends, if you want to know that, then God has made this way by His grace. He has made the way open in which sinners can come and know Him. You come to the cross and you see Christ, the wisest man ever to walk the earth, and there He is, and He hangs there upon the cross, and He dies for sinners. You know, you may think that you are above Him, but He humbled Himself for you. And true wisdom is to look away from self. It's to look at Him, and to keep looking at Him until your pride melts, and you'll realize that you need Him. You see, true wisdom is to know Jesus Christ, and it's only by coming to Him, casting yourself upon Him, walking with Him, knowing His life in you, then you will be able to walk with Him, and then you'll be made wise. You see, wisdom is a person, Jesus Christ, and through a real relationship with Jesus, you can be reconciled to God, your life changed, your worldview changed, and you begin to grow in wisdom and know how to live in this messy world in a way that brings glory to God. And a big element of that, when we are wise, is knowing how to use our words and use our tongues. And we've been considering this in recent times. And Solomon began Proverbs by explaining that true wisdom includes wisdom in our speech. It includes listening well. It includes being humble enough to seek guidance in the right places. You see, a fool rejects wisdom. A fool won't listen. A fool won't heed wise counsel. And that's what we see in Proverbs 15, 31 to 33. The reality is we're not naturally wise. We're not good deep down, but we think we are. And it ties in, as we saw this morning, with being on that broad way to destruction. And therefore, whether we can listen to and submit to wise counsel or not is a matter of life and death. And therefore, if you want to be a fool, if you want to continue in the fool's way, continue on that broad way, if you want to embrace ruin, then shun godly counsel. Just shun it, set it aside. Don't listen. Don't be concerned about what the Word of God says. It all starts with not listening and not wanting to listen to what is true and good and helpful. And so, as Solomon often does, you know, how can I be a fool? Well, he tells us, don't listen to anyone but yourself. Look at verse 31. We see that wisdom is listening to a wise and godly rebuke. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. So the opposite of that, foolishness, is not listening to wise counsel, is not listening to wise rebuke. You know, wisdom will not come unless we listen to wise counsel from outside of us, because it's just not in us. As one explains, only the wise are willing to admit mistakes. Only the wise are willing to seek behavior that changes, improve their position before the Lord, and live obediently. And that requires listening to correction. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. That means they fail. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It is wise to have those around you who will give you godly counsel and wise advice to avoid getting only one perspective. It is helpful to have wise input so that we can make good decisions and plans that are in the best place to succeed if the Lord wills. We need this because we are so capable of deceiving ourselves, pursuing our own agendas. Now, of course, as we'll see later, it doesn't mean that you go to people who are just going to approve of what you do regardless, surrounding yourself with yes men. That's not what this is talking about. Talking about sincerely and rightly seeking godly counsel, godly advice, and coming to the Word of God. In Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. You know, the way that seems so right to us can often lead to death. But if you listen to godly counsel outside of yourself, you will be wise. And of course, the godliest counsel, first and foremost, is found in the Scriptures. You know, left to ourselves, we wouldn't choose the right path. You know, we see that, don't we, with our little ones, with our children. They don't naturally share. They have to be told and made to share and instructed. They don't naturally clean up their rooms, you know. They have to be told to clean their rooms. See, the problem is that very few people admit to not being wise. And the problem is that we can often think that our assessment of a situation is always the right one, is always correct. And if we didn't think that, then the assessment that we come to would be different. And so young people think they are so much wiser than their much more experienced parents. Young pastors are quick to dismiss the advice of older, experienced pastors because they think they know better. Two people who think they're in love pursue a relationship even when everyone who truly loves them tells them it's a bad idea. They won't listen. They believe that no one can understand the situation as well as they can. This is true of all of us, and we persist in that conviction. Only we see things rightly. Why? Because our hearts are broken by sin. And so we're not naturally wise in the terms of what Proverbs is speaking of. That's why we need godly guidance and counsel that is based in the Word of God, comes from the Word of God, that keeps us on the straight and narrow. We need to listen to God's Word. We need to hide the counsel of godly brothers and sisters who genuinely know and love us. The Bible makes it clear that it's true across the various areas of our lives. So let me give you some examples. Proverbs 15, verse 5. Look, if you will. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. You know, here and in many places, the Bible says that children and young people should listen to what their parents say, godly parents. And by the way, whilst under their roof, should obey. It also means that when they're out from under the roof of their parents, they should still seek the advice and counsel of godly parents. Hebrews 13, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So the Bible tells us that church members should hear and obey godly leaders who teach God's word. And as they test those things by the word of God, there should be that right respect. Titus 2:6, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. So the word of God exhorts young people to listen to those counsel of those mature in the faith. So it's helpful for younger parents to seek counsel from older parents that are further along in the process. Younger husbands seeking counsel from older godly husbands who've been married for a long time on how to lead their families and handle finances, all of those things. And it applies across in other circumstances too. We're to exhort and help one another. So in the home, in the church. But you see, in these things, you need humility. Look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You see, listening requires humility. And there's not a lot of humility around. You need to be able to see. I need to be able to see. We don't know everything. That we don't have all the answers all of the time. That actually our way may not always be the best. That we don't have everything figured out. Why is that so difficult? If we're honest, we're still battling with pride. And we do not naturally submit to the advice of others, particularly if it doesn't fall into what we want. And our sinful reaction often is, I know better. And in our society, there are very few occurrences where someone is corrected. And even in the church, if we are corrected in that right sense, in love, our first reaction isn't one of gratitude very often. No, we bristle. We get angry, maybe only on the inside, because obviously, being English, we're very reserved. But we begin to think of reasons why that person is in no position to talk to us about those things. But true wisdom is recognizing that you do not know everything and that godly counsel is something that is desirable, something that's beneficial. By the way, I know not all of you are English. You may claim various nationalities. Solomon takes it further, though. He says, wisdom is humility to listen to godly counsel, but ultimately, it is totally trusting and depending upon the Lord. You know, an indication, friends, of whether you're really depending on the Lord tonight or not is whether or not you listen to the counsel of God's word. It's whether you really believe that the word is sufficient. You know, it comes down to whether you are willing to submit to the truth of God and acknowledge the authority and sufficiency of the word of God. It comes down to whether we're going to submit to the Lord in every area of our lives. And if we're honest, we find that hard. We may be able to say those things easily, but it's very different to actually do it. We find it hard to humble ourselves. We find it hard to submit to the Lord's authority. And this is hinted at in the fact there is such a lack of submission to authority throughout our society. Parents, governments, bosses, and certainly pastors and elders. It's hard because we think our way is right. As one explains, wisdom requires the ability to recognize that you can deceive yourself. You're not always right, and you need to submit humbly to wise instruction as you submit to the Lord. So the question comes to me tonight, and it comes to you tonight. Do we want to be fools? Because if we want to be fools and continue as fools without a relationship with wisdom, without Christ, then don't listen to anyone else. Just listen to yourself. Just rely on your own ideas. Be convinced that you are the one who has got it right and everyone else is wrong, that you don't need anyone else, you know better, that no one is looking out for you, no one is looking out for your interests quite like you. So be a fool, listen to yourself, close your ears to all godly counsel. But then he also tells us in these verses how to be a fool. If you want to be a fool, do not listen, but in fact speak and keep speaking. You know, Proverbs addresses the issues of our tongues again and again. And one of the key exhortations throughout the book of Proverbs is simply this: don't talk so much. You know, there are some people who really struggle with talking. They really talk a lot. They're so eager to talk that they finish people's sentences for them. They jump into conversations. They always direct the conversation back to themselves. If you're a person who is so eager to give your opinion first, or if you're a person who doesn't really listen in a conversation, you know, you're just waiting for that opportunity to jump back in and turn it back to yourself. These things are signs of foolishness. Proverbs tells us that the wise person will learn to restrain their mouths. You know, listen to the following, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 17, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't talk to each other or that you just have to give one-word answers. It means that we just have to be aware that if we lose control of our tongues, then we can get into difficulty. You know, Abraham Lincoln was obviously inspired by such texts in Proverbs, as he is thought to have said this: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. Proverbs is clear that speaking a lot can lead to sin, whereas a restrained mouth is a sign of wisdom. Now, let me give you two specific reasons for restraining your mouth. When you control your tongue, you are protected from what we may call impulsive speech. You know, if you're quick with your words, if you're rash, if you're unthoughtful, you can do a lot of damage very quickly. Often you can maybe be aware of just how much damage can be done in that way. The problem is that once your words are out, once they have been said, however much you try to, you know, ease the damage and all the rest, you can't get them back. Maybe we can think of times in our experience when we've jumped in such a way. You know, how's talking before you listen or talking before you think affected your marriage or affected your children or your friendships or even in your place of work? Do you want to be a fool who ruins his relationships? Then talk too much. But also, when you control your tongue, not only are you kept from impulsive speech, you're kept from self-confident speech. Proverbs makes it clear that self-confident speech is a definite mark of foolishness. Now, what is self-confident speech? Well, it can be defined as loving the sound of your own voice. Always having to give your opinion on the particular matter. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding. And then it says, but in expressing his own heart. Literally, that means to show off his own opinions. As one said, the verse suggests that fools are, again, only interested in their own desires and ideas. They don't want to listen to people with confidence. They only want to speak what's on their minds. So do you find it difficult to truly listen to others? Are you always confident in your own conclusions on a matter? Do you have a hard time engaging in actual conversations because you are waiting for the other person to take a breath? Then you're in danger of foolishness. It's very easy to show the characteristics of a fool. Don't listen, just speak and speak and speak much more than you listen. But the characteristics of the wise are that they are slow to speak and they're quick and earnest in listening. And then lastly, as we draw all these things together, if you want to be a fool, listen to unwise counsel. You know, the fool only usually listens to himself. The fool will always speak more than he listens. But should the occasion come when the fool listens to someone other than himself, he will inevitably listen to another fool. Fools will listen to unwise, ungodly advice. And that can take many different forms. But one major way it shows itself is that fools surround themselves, as we said earlier, with only those who will affirm their position. Only those who will say yes. And therefore ask yourself, do I surround myself with people who only tell me what I want to hear? Is there anyone who is genuinely interested and who I trust enough to lovingly speak into my life in a way that will be to spiritual benefit, that will be of help to me, that might challenge me? Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. You see, unwise counsel is deceitful because it won't tell you the way that things really are. It won't lead you on the best course. It won't point you back to the Savior. It won't point you back to the Word of God. It will keep you off track. You know, Solomon pleaded with his son again and again and again to listen to wise counsel. He so much wanted him to be a wise and a good king. But sadly, Rehoboam was more interested in listening to his peers. And they told him exactly what he wanted to hear. And so Rehoboam dismissed any counsel given by his father and also of any of the elders in the land. And what was the result? The kingdom was ruined. You see, the problem is people pursue bad counsel all the time. Whether it's co-workers, even friends, even family, they're willing to listen to bad advice as long as it plays in to what they want to do. You see, that is where godly approach and humility is so important, because it seeks counsel in the right place. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. You see, wisdom is not just the ability to listen, but it's the ability to discern whom or what to listen to, and what to receive, what to reject. And the criteria for this discernment will be the answer to this question: is this counsel, is this advice consistent with the Word of God? You know, discernment goes when all of a sudden we discern that anyone who disagrees with our opinion on the matter is unwise or a fool. Again, that's because we deceive ourselves and we close our minds to godly counsel. If the person is willing to tell us what we need to hear, even if it is uncomfortable, and if their counsel is consistent with the Word of God, then we can be confident we should listen to it. Unfortunately, it is amazing how often ungodly, unbiblical counsel can actually come from other Christians. You know, whenever you're listening to counsel, whenever someone is bringing advice to you, if your situation is somehow identified as an exception to a clear biblical principle and biblical testimony, then you can be sure it is not godly advice. If it comes counter to what the Word of God says, then even if it comes from a Christian, it must be rejected. As one explains, people love to follow God's Word when it suits them. But we always think that our situation is the exception. It's not. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You see, the fool will listen to unwise counsel and delight in it. But the wise will always long to know godly counsel, godly advice, what the Word of God says, even when it challenges their direction and position. So to pursue true wisdom and to turn from foolishness, as we've said, is to know Jesus. That's what it comes down to. We need him. And you know what? When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're also blessed to be part of his body, the church. And as believers, it is so good for us when we are in genuine fellowship with brothers and sisters and knit together in true commitment and fellowship. We need a relationship with Christ. We need a relationship with his word. We need to know it and love it. And it is a blessing in our lives when we have brothers and sisters in our lives who can call us out when we need it. Tell us the truth in love when we need it. Encourage us when we need it. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. You know, Proverbs has revealed to us that wisdom is personal. And tonight you have the opportunity to take this time to see if you recognize a pattern of foolishness in your life. Maybe it's not listening enough. Maybe it is listening to the wrong people. Maybe it's talking too much. But these issues have a deeper root than just those things. They reveal a problem in our relationship with the Lord. When we don't want to listen to godly counsel, when we talk so that we keep ourselves away from the real issue, it reveals that actually there is an issue between us and the Lord. And most likely that we do not recognize just how great and deceitful our hearts really are. You don't really believe that you're prone to self-deception. And the danger is for all of us that we can have too high a view of self and not a high enough view of Jesus. You know, if we're believers tonight, we have been granted this spiritual life. Our eyes have been opened, our ears have been unstopped. And God's purpose for us as His children is to make us like His Son, the Lord Jesus. And we are transformed as we follow closely, as we submit to Him, as we follow His Word. You know, one of the ways you can tell if you are becoming more holy, if you are going on with the Lord, is if you can successfully receive a rebuke and make that right correction in your life where you are straying away. You know, we sung that amazing hymn, didn't we? Come thou fount of every blessing. And what does it say in the verse? Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. We are prone to wander. And we need that godly counsel to keep bringing us back, keep pointing us back to that right way, that true way. You know, Jesus could remain silent when he needed to be quiet. He knew how to grow in wisdom even when he was there and growing by listening to the teachers in the temple. Have you ever thought about that? There is the Son of God, and yet such was his humility that he would listen to the teachers in the temple. Luke 2. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Incredible condescension. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. If you are not growing in your ability to listen to wise counsel, to measure your words, then maybe we are not following the Lord as closely as we could. And there's an issue in the relationship. If we ignore the need to grow in this area of being made like Christ, the consequences are never good. I ruin your reputation because you won't listen to correction and continue to make the same error. May damage your family life as you think everyone else is wrong but you. Many other examples, but it comes to this. Do you want to be a fool and ruin your life? Then listen to yourself. Talk more than you listen and surround yourself with people who only tell you what you want to hear. You know, it's true that God in his mercy shows us that we need Christ's body, the company of the redeemed. And that is why it's so helpful. And in the local church, we live life together, depend upon each other. And as one says, Proverbs is clear that associating with fools will make you foolish, but uniting with the wise will make you wise. Therefore, you need to be in healthy relationships with other believers who are seeking to walk with Jesus as well. You need to give these brothers and sisters freedom to speak with you, and just as you have freedom to speak with them and share good things. And when you are faced with a tough decision, you don't want to seek counsel from those who simply tell you what you want to hear. You need to be able to ask, who are the godliest people I know? What do they think about this? Are they praying for me? Are they telling me things that are in line with the Word of God? And we need to pray that God would help us. So easy to deceive ourselves. We need to recognize that. And we need to pray for grace to control the tongue, because it is a battle, friends, to restrain our mouths, to keep it pure. And we need to listen to godly counsel. And you may be involved in this or that in the church. You may be at all things, but as one explains, whether or not you can listen to the counsel of others and control your tongue tells you a lot about where you are with the Lord. Friends, left to ourselves, we are utterly foolish, and so we need the Lord. We need wisdom. And so tonight, let's recognize our foolishness. Let's bring it before the Lord, pray for his forgiveness again, and ask him for that wisdom that he gives so generously. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to enable us to listen well, to measure our words, to indeed know that empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit, to have our speech seasoned with grace. Jesus is the wisdom of God, who has become wisdom for us, who can make us wise. And so let's read and listen to God's word to grow in that way. And you will recognize that you're not always right and that you need to submit to God's truth. May God help us as a church in these things. And may our lives ever become more like the Lord Jesus. And may it be that in this way, we show ourselves to be wise in this life and held and upheld into the next. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn tonight, 784. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. 784.